This is Matt from PureNintendo.com, and you are listening to the KoopaCast, PureNintendo.com's official podcast. Before we begin, I would like to thank Big Giant Circles for allowing us to use his music for our podcast. To hear more of his work, please check out iTunes.com/BigGiantCircles, or you can go to BigGiantCircles.com. Hey everyone! Welcome to the KoopaCast, PureNintendo.com's official audio podcast. This is episode 102. I'm your host, Matt, and today I am joined by Editor-in-Chief Justin Sharp.
Hey everyone.
And Web Editor-in-Chief James Higginbotham.
Hello everyone.
And today is a very special episode, which may be why both bigwigs are here today. So Justin, why are we here?
Well, we are launching officially our Patreon campaign to bring back print subscriptions, amongst many other things.
That's right. Finally, bringing back print through our awesome new Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/purenintendo. We'll have a link up on our KoopaCast page, and of course, we're going to have a link up on the front page of our website. So we're not only here to talk about the Patreon, but we're also going to, you know, dive into a little bit of pure Nintendo history, you know, really catch the people up on, you know, everything we've been to. For me, it's only been 5 years, and for you two, it's been, what, 10 years now?
10 for me, so what is it, 11 or 12 for you, Justin?
Yeah, it's been a while, ever since the early blogger days, before we even have our own domain name, so.
Early blogger, you mean NyWiFi.net?
Yeah, well, even before NyWiFi.net, do you guys remember the blogger service? It was started by Google, but you could actually start a blog on and host it on Google, and it was called blogger.com. So it was run and operated by, owned and operated by Google. And so it was nywifi.blogspot.com. And then we went to nywifi.net when we got our own server, and then to purenintendo.com. So
why did you start this? Why did you start this NyWiFi blogger and this NyWiFi.net?
Well, it goes back a ways. I always followed Nintendo news way back to the, IGN, before they were IGN, they had the N64 page, I think. I remember following that way back when. Planet GameCube and some other sites that were around back then. And I was like, hey, you know, this looks pretty easy. I think I'll start my own news website. So I started a little blogger and just, you know, commenting on the news that was going on. And then I think the DS had maybe just come out or something, or they had announced the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection. And so I was like, hey, it'd be cool to start a blog and maybe, you know, trade friend codes with people. Because as we all know, friend codes are the coolest thing ever. And you know, everyone wanted to use them, and, you know, so it was super popular. So we just kind of traded and had, like, a forum and different things. So that's really why we started NyWiFi.net. But
now, you said we, so it wasn't just you that started this?
Well, it was, I guess it was myself that started the blog, the blogger account, but there was a guy that helped me out. I never actually met him. He was online and he helped me with some early blog posts. Can't even remember his handle or his username. That shows how long it was ago.
But thank you, whoever you are.
Yeah, I know. It'd be fun to connect with him at some point. Anyways, but then James was the first one to kind of hop on board after that, really. And kind of stay on board and cruise since then. So
nice. And I think I found the original post of that. I'll have to fish around for it again. But if I find it, I'll put it up on the KoopaCast page so you all can kind of look at it, which is the "We're looking for somebody" post, to which James responded.
And I was like, I'm somebody.
That's right. Yeah, that was fantastic. What year was that? 2010? Or...
Yeah, I think I just turned a decade in January, so that would be 2007.
Oh, yeah, it would be 2007, man. Yeah, okay.
So, James, what was going through your mind when you decided to join up with this this man, Justin, here?
Well, I guess, first of all, Justin and I have known each other for a very long time. Mm-hmm. What was it, halfway through sixth grade year? And we're in our 30s now? So yeah. What would that be? Almost 20 years now we've known each other?
Yeah.
So, geez. So Justin and I had a relationship, so when I saw him post for help, I decided, hey, this may sound bad, but I'm not doing anything important right now. I was in between taking college classes, and so I decided to help Justin out because we had that was after we, right?
Yeah, so the we had just come out, I think, in 2006.
Yeah, and we spent a magical night together in 2006, November 2006, waiting for the we.
That's right.
And he talked up NaWiFi a lot, and so I started following NaWiFi for 3 or 4 months before I saw that post. And he had me hooked at what he was doing.
All right. I feel like I've learned a lot of things here. Most importantly, that college is not important, but working on the blog is absolutely important.
Yes.
Yep.
That's right. You heard it here, kids. Stay out of school. Get out of school.
School isn't cool.
So how long was it NaWiFi.net now?
I guess it was just for another year or so, because it was 2008 that I think we started Pure Nintendo.com proper, right, James? I think it
was. Yeah, because I was back in college, and so that would have been the next year.
Yeah, so it would have been like mid-2008, I think.
Yeah.
And we were kind of wanting to transition the name anyway, because NaWiFi is not the easiest thing to spell, and not the easiest thing to tell people, like, hey, check out our website, NaWiFi or NiWiFi or whatever, you know, all sorts of pronunciations. It made it just really hard. So we're like, well, we needed something that kind of encompassed what we were all about, and Pure Nintendo seemed like a really cool and available domain name at the time.
All right, and then you guys became Pure Nintendo, and obviously everything just kind of took off from there. When did you guys start, like, you know, really, like, was that, like, PureNintendo.com, like, the point where you're like, okay, we're going to be really serious about this, we're going to be game journalists, we're going to have this, you know, awesome website, we're going to talk to these developers, you know, let's do this.
Yeah, I think so. It was really at that point that you know, we got more serious about the blogging. James was doing that full time. And I think, you know, over the next few years, he had posted something like 15,000 or 20,000 blog posts. So, I mean, we were probably in those days, we were more current with the news than we've ever been, just because we had the time and, you know, really jazzed about all the Wii stuff that was going on. So, yeah, that's kind of how that went. And we eventually got developer interviews. I know The Conduit. Do you guys remember that game on the Wii?
Yeah, I do.
I think they were one of our first big developer interviews and contacts. And also Natsume with Harvest Moon. And, you know, just hooking up with other game companies out there and getting press access. So it was... Pure Nintendo really kind of started that snowball.
Like Justin said, that it was more name recognition, because like with NaWiFi, that was hard to pitch to people. Mm-hmm. It's not fully understandable, but Pure Nintendo, people knew we were a Nintendo-based website, so that helped get things rolling.
How long was it just, James, because you said he did a lot of news posts. I mean, at some point, you know, you had to go reach out and start asking people for help, right?
Yeah, I would say, was it Kevin and Eli that helped out a little bit over those first few years?
I think Nick Tello too.
Oh yeah, Nick Tello, that's right. And these are all friends from high school and elementary. Kevin's actually my brother-in-law now, so yeah, we had always known each other, and they were like, hey, I want to help out, and so, you know, it kind of worked out well. And you know, our goal at the time was, hey, let's get to E3. Let's, you know, let's see how far we can take this. And you know, go to various events, Comic Cons, and different things. So, and we did. So.
And at what point did take this lead to we're going to create a magazine?
Oh yeah, so that was, I guess, fast forwarding to 2011. We really got a lot of stuff that, you know, we get high resolution assets from people. So game developers will send us, you know, some 10 megabyte file, and it's this really cool piece of artwork. And, you know, we wanted to take advantage of those and actually put those into something. You can't obviously upload that to your website. You know, it's just too big of a file to host on the web. So we're like, hey, it'd be cool to do some sort of print, you know, even if it's just digital at first. Like, I think our first couple issues we just did free, James, right? Like on issue.com.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just kind of started as that, as, you know, hey, we want kind of a different format. And it was also a way to kind of differentiate ourselves, because there's a lot of Nintendo blogs out there, right? You know, there's a dime a dozen. It seems like, you know, every new day there's a new blog that pops up, and, you know, Nintendo has a lot of fandom around it. You know, much like Apple and Samsung and a bunch of these other big companies. So, you know, we wanted to kind of differentiate ourselves. And at the time, Nintendo Power was still going. So it wasn't like we were like, hey, we're going to be the biggest and best, you know, Nintendo magazine out there. You know, it was really just, you know, a different avenue for us to do our own coverage, to be a fan magazine. So.
All right. And, I don't know. I'm a little discouraged, because when I joined up, I was told straight up by James that we had to crush all of our enemies and become king of the hill.
Nintendo Power included.
I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, things change and a new order rises. Nothing against the Nintendo Power people, but, you know, it's time a new king has reigned.
That's right.
But going back to Stone of the Magazine, I have to give Justin credit, because he brought the idea up a year before we actually started, and I kind of poo-pooed the idea because we were both slammed to school. And then a year later, when things are slowing down, I was like, hey, remember the idea you had? That was a pretty cool idea. And we did some few mock-ups, and that's how the first magazine happened.
And that first magazine, you can find, right? On our MagCloud app, if you got a subscription, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can get a print of that first issue. You can also get it through our iOS and Android app as well. It's on there. So.
And there you go. If you want to check out some pure Nintendo history, and I know you do, you should check those out. Again, links to those are on our website, purenintendo.com. So, where are we at? We're at the magazine now, 2011. How many people were on staff at that point?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I would say Kevin and James and Nick was kind of on and off. I think he had gone at that point.
I think it was mostly you, Eli, Kevin, and myself at that point.
Yeah. I know Ben was around, and he was helping with some of the magazine too. He helped kick off some of the digital side of things, so that was cool. But yeah, there's been a lot of people along the way. When did J Money start up?
Oh, that's a good question. I know he was there before I was.
Yeah, years ago. Yeah, I would think that was shortly after the Kickstarter in 2012. I think.
Yeah, because I think. No, Jane Money wasn't first. I think it was Alex.
That's right. Yeah. We met Alex. Yeah, he was on board before the Wii U came out, and we saw him in Atlanta at one of the Wii U preview events.
Yeah, because his first week starting with us was E3 that year.
Yeah.
He went to the Wolves.
E3 yeah. was his first week? Wow.
Yeah. He got in it. He rolled up his sleeves and, you know, said, hey, let's do this. So that's pretty awesome.
For those of you who are listening at home, I am not feigning any kind of excitement at some of these stories. I myself have not heard some of these stories that they're talking about. So I really did mean wow when Alex's first week is E3. That's something else.
Bombs on you.
Yeah. Don't worry. Not every sentence coming out of my mouth, or not every response out of my mouth, is gonna be like, "Wow, isn't Pure Nintendo great?" I mean, it is great, but that hopefully won't be every other sentence I say. Anyway, let's keep talking about a great magazine here. You guys started the Kickstarter in 2012.
Yeah. And then, so the Kickstarter, we had done, I think, 5 issues up to that point. So it had kind of been basically every other month. So it had been almost a year since we had started it. And we decided, hey, let's get a print version of the magazine out. And so the initial goal, ironically, of the Kickstarter was to do print subscriptions. And so it seems like we've come full circle now. Issue 6 was kind of that issue that we used to kind of kick off the Kickstarter. It had Pikmin 3 on the cover of it. And it was our biggest issue to date. I think it was 60 plus pages or something. We eventually kind of evened out, you know, averaged around 70 to 80 pages, depending on ads and different things. But
yeah. I gotcha. And again, you can find that issue 6, purenintendo.com. You can /magazine. There you go. It's all there.
That's right.
No, I think I joined you guys up, or joined up with you guys, excuse me, shortly after the Kickstarter. I want to say it was around December 2012.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Do you remember what you were doing starting off? Did you start off on the website too, or on the magazine?
I started off on the website, and I remember I specifically went out and purchased a Wii U when I knew I was going to be working for you guys. Because I said, you know,
you're welcome.
What's that's that? Right. Yeah, thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
I have probably used my Wii U more than, I'd say, 80, 90% of people out there. And that's not just because of my job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I joined up with you guys in December 2012. And I think I reviewed Nintendo Land for you guys.
Oh, nice. It's a good game to kick things off with.
It was. And I still think it's a good game. I think it still has its merits. I'm not too eager to go back to it. But, I mean, that's not saying it's not terrible or anything like that. It was a fun little experience I thought Nintendo put together.
Yeah, definitely. That's better than the first game that I started reviewing. Do you remember your first game, James?
I was just thinking that. I was going to ask that question. It was from Mika Kelly.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the game was.
Was it, remember that ball rolling game, like Koro Rimpa or something? It was sort of like, you guys remember Marble Madness way back when? You roll this ball around, and I forget it. Yeah, Koro Rimpa or Kula Limpa or something. I know that sounds like something that Tingle says, and it probably is, but yeah, there's some game that was kind of like a weird third party game, but it was on the Wii. And I think that was one of our first review copies. We got it at E3. Like, they literally handed us like a burned disc of the game. Like, it didn't even have a cover or a graphic art on the disc. They just gave us a sleeve, and it had like a Sharpie marker of the title of it. But yeah, that was kind of interesting getting our first copy that way. But
I got a story, but first we got to hear from James. Like, what's his first review copy game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Was it a chess game?
Maybe. Was it a Wii game or a DS game?
A Wii game. Because I remember we got shirts with it.
Yeah.
People always ask me, hey, you like chess? No, not really.
Then you'll love this.
I mean, I could tell you that Nintendo Land was not my first review copied game. That was the one I purchased my own money. Followed my second game, which was that Warriors Orochi 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But the first game I actually ever reviewed, like got a review copy for, was Pandora's Tower.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a huge one to be.
What a first review game, because I don't know if you guys remember, but the copy that is sitting on my shelf right now is not the first copy of Pandora's Tower I received. Instead, it was a disc with written in Sharpie, Pandora's Tower by Exceed Games.
Nice. And it may have been Exceed that did that other game I'm thinking about. So
they were one of our first contacts. It could have been.
Yeah, it could have been.
Now, the thing with this disc that's now hanging up on my wall is that it did not read on the Wii because it required a debug console to run it. But we didn't know that at the time. And so I spent my next like week looking up how to homebrew the Wii to be able to play this disc that I have in hopes that it would happen. So I completely like downloaded files, homebrewed the thing. I'm afraid to touch my Wii at this point. It's also sitting on my shelf collecting dust, never to be turned on again. But just, I transferred everything out of there and just completely changed that system around.
Yeah.
And it still didn't work. And then, yeah, that's when we found out. We got the commercial. In, out, done it. And that game was great, except for that game-breaking bug that they had in there.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, that's a pretty good first review copy. Pretty sweet.
I definitely agree. It was a lot of fun. Way better than Warriors of Roshi 3 was, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I remember when I realized when we made it big in the review world. Oh, Justin, you remember our Dementium 2 copy?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It came on the actual development, I guess you can call it, stick. It wasn't the normal DS cartridge, it was this like 5 times bigger than DS cartridge, a little stick that went in.
Yeah.
And I had to send it back when I was done after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd never even heard of that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing we don't get that so now.
It was weird. Like I was nervous to lose it and
keep it on your person at all times.
It's just completely chained to you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, what was that after the Kickstarter now, or was this like some of the stuff before the Kickstarter?
Oh, this was.
Yeah, I guess that would have been before the Kickstarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this would be kind of our first reviews. Yeah, this was well before. This is before we even got to E3, probably.
Oh, wow.
No.
Maybe after our first E3 or something.
Yeah, I think Dementium 2 came out 2010 or 11, one of those.
Our first E3 with all of us was 2009, and then we were there since then. But
yeah, well, all of you guys to date, because I think I remember 2012, it was a good majority of us went to E3 at that time.
Yeah, there were 14 or 15 of us. Yeah, we probably had more people there than IGN and some of these other places. Maybe not quite IGN. IGN has their own booth on the show floor where they corral a bunch of interns that write feverishly the whole E3. But I think most everyone had fun. We try and keep it fun when we're at E3, and you know it's a lot of work, but it's definitely fun.
That's true. We've definitely had some like interesting times.
Yeah. Playing Mario Kart 7 in the room after E3 and coining the phrase "there are no friends in Mario Kart," which is still true today. So.
It's actually the tag for our magazine now.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think, I mean, of course, Tristan's not here with us anymore. He left Pure Nintendo.
He's gone on to greener pastures. Hint, hint. Xbox world, but
I think none of us will forget his humble origins being terrible at Mario Kart.
Oh man, I totally forgot about that.
Tristan, I don't understand how a gamer can be that bad at Mario Kart.
Yeah. Oh man, he's gonna love listening to this.
It is, and we should let him know. We make sure he watches this episode.
That's right. That's right. Because I forgot about it.
I need to get him online with my 3-year-old son. I bet you he can beat him.
There you go. Poor Tristan. Oh, man. So yeah, we totally gave Tristan a hard time because he was losing quite a bit. Okay, compared to all of us, we were fairly, you know, big Mario Kart veterans. And he played Mario Kart before too. I think he was just at the lower end of the veteran.
Well, the thing that made it worse is that he wasn't just losing to us; he was losing to the computers as well.
Oh yeah.
We're very sorry, Tristan.
We won't ever let you live it down, but we love you.
Do you guys have any other like major moments that really stick out in your mind, you know, throughout your decade plus of time at Pure Nintendo?
Mine would be Comic-Con New York 2000 and something. But that was the year that Chinatown Wars was released.
Oh yeah.
That Ghostbusters games on the Wii. And was it Mad World?
Yeah, Mad World. Yeah, we met the Mad World developers there.
So we drove all the way up from Chattanooga, Tennessee overnight and went up to New York Comic Con. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about New York Comic Con is, unlike E3, it wasn't super crowded. Like before they opened the doors for the normal crowd, the normal show floor, they had all the media had 2 or 3 hours before the show floor opened every day. Mm-hmm. To get hands-on and actually talk in a quiet environment instead of having 50,000 people around you.
E3 needs to do that this year. They're going to open to the public.
I know. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be 15,000 new people there. So it's going to be tough to get hands-on. But well, there's still the media access areas that, you know, will probably be more important for our hands-on.
Yeah. But I mean, I just hope that they like open up other wings or something like that, because holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's already crowded with the two halls they have.
Yeah, I'm always shocked at how many people were there, like every time I went.
Yeah, I think they usually average over 50,000. I think it's something like that. It's not the biggest one in the world anymore. I think Gamescom in Europe has eclipsed E3, but that's because it's open to the public. I think last year they had something like 80,000. But when you're asking about highlights, Matt, probably a majority of our highlights are trade show moments, like James mentioned at New York Comic Con. Obviously, there's a ton of E3 highlights that we could probably mention quite a bit of. I think probably the biggest ones. The first time I met Reggie at an E3, I think that was fun. That was in 2008. So that was a pretty cool moment. Like he was really, you know, I was kind of in a oohing and aahing, like, oh, that's Reggie, and you know, kind of psyching myself up to go over and talk to him. And E3 2008 was a very small E3. It wasn't even in those two big halls that they have now. It was in a small meeting room area in between those, and ended up coming up to him. He had another guy from Nintendo with him. I said, hey, can I get a picture with you? He's like, yeah, sure. So I took a picture. And what was cool was he didn't just leave it at that and, you know, kind of walk off. He kind of asked me who I was, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm with PureNintendo.com. We, you know, talk about all things Nintendo. He's like, oh, very cool. He's like, what are your highlights of the show? So he was engaging with me, you know, even though he didn't really need to. So he left a good impression on me. And so that was a lot of fun getting to meet him. And then getting to meet some other Nintendo idols later on, like Shigeru Miyamoto and Eiji Inuma. At subsequent E3s, that was a lot of fun too.
Man, must be nice meeting Shigeru Miyamoto. I wish I had that opportunity.
There's actually an interesting story behind that. I was working on my senior final project, and it was just a story about us going to E3, and the story ended up being we wanted to meet Miyamoto. That was the basis of the story we were writing. So we talked about it, and it was it the last day? Second to last day. It was Wednesday.
Yeah.
It was Wednesday of E3. We were sitting at a round table. I think they were talking about Zelda or something. Not important.
Yeah.
And so
unimportant things like college classes.
College classes, yes. And so Miyamoto was there obviously talking. And he gets off and he sits in the front, and I forgot who was talking at, it was showing off something else. But anyways, and so after they dismissed us, Miyamoto, we see him start walking out the front. And so I think it was Justin was like, he's going out the front. And so
and that's when you tackled him to the ground.
Yeah, four of us like we're jumping over seats and stuff just to get over to the front. And one of our guys, Leo, started filming, and he had a shaky video camera of us trying to run after him. We bust around the corner out the door, and we kind of like jump him.
He actually we kind of corral them. Yeah.
Is this why Nintendo won't talk to us anymore?
They love us. We don't have a restraining order. It's fine.
But he was kind enough to take a picture with us, and I think Bill Trennan was there too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so
it's funny because like I think Leo snapped a picture, but the picture he got of Miyamoto is really strange. Like he's doing this really strange face.
Probably because so he saw four guys jumping over seats and like trying to cut him off in this escape route.
Well, it's even stranger than that. Like it's not an expression you would expect, you know, when you get corralled by crazy fans. But I don't know. It was interesting. It was kind of a surreal moment. Like we just kind of like took a picture with him. We said, "Hey, thanks," and then he just kind of walked off. So there wasn't much talking with him. Eiji Inuma, we also met, I think, the previous day, or just before the roundtable event, and Kevin and I were able to just get a picture with him, and we didn't really talk to him briefly, but you know, I didn't talk to him a whole lot. It was just kind of like, "Hey, can we take a picture?" He's like, "Oh yeah, sure, no problem." Very nice. Like he knew some English, but you could tell he wasn't fully, you know, comfortable speaking English. So, anyways, but it was cool. Very cool to meet them. So, I really probably a regret of mine is I remember being very close and had the opportunity to meet Satoru Iwata. I think it was E3 2008. So it would have been my first E3. I was in the Nintendo media room and he was in there and he was talking with a couple of the other Japanese execs. I think Reggie came in at some point, but it seemed like too important of a collective to really interrupt him, you know, just to get a picture with him. But I'm sure he would have done that. He always seemed really nice. So, but that was one regret, not getting to meet him. So.
James, you've met a couple of celebrities yourself, isn't that right?
Yes, I've actually met J.J. Abrams. But I don't know if I told you guys that.
That's right. Yeah,
he was in the E3, I guess swag booth where you can buy E3 shirts and stuff. Yeah.
Was he buying some E3 swag?
I'm assuming so. Or just thinking of how to blow things up or something and do flares. Moon's flares.
Moon's flares, yeah.
Anyways, I met Shaun White, which was really cool. Shaun White. I guess he can steal my idol, but this was back in 2012 when he was a little more important, I guess.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He was.
I'll cut that out. Don't worry.
No. We saw him at the Ubisoft press conference promoting his game. Mm-hmm. And then when I was walking on the show floor, he was there promoting the game. And I went up and met him and shook his hand. And my highlight, but I'm actually super mad at him about it, is we met James Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of the bathroom. But I'm not very happy with James Cameron because he lied to me. He lied to us.
That's right. All of us.
Mm-hmm. All of us. Because I was sitting five rows back from the front during an Ubisoft press conference. James Cameron looked me in the eyes and said, "You, James, this Avatar game is going to be great."
It was a really weird... I saw the video. It was a really weird moment. Where he called out a specific audience member. I remember they read a lot of stories about it, and people were very, you know, perplexed about what was going on here.
Yeah.
And it was a horrible, horrible, horrible game.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, in all honesty, I actually believed him because it was James Cameron.
Yeah.
Even though I knew it was going to be a horrible game. But it was James Cameron, so I had to believe him.
I had to believe him. You had to take that chance.
Did you write him, like, angry letters and, like, emails?
No. No, because it's James Cameron. I can't be too mad, I guess.
Until Avatar 2 comes out.
In 2020,
he's going to promise the sequels are even better than the first one. Well, they better be.
And the game based off that sequel, well, that'll be better than the first game.
That's right.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of any other highlights here. I think I've told my E3 didn't get to see Miyamoto story like 6 or 7 times in so many podcasts. So I think I'll skip that one. But I still will, for the record, say I will never forgive you guys.
There you go. Was it E3 2000? Was it our first E3 or second R3 when Activision threw that big party in the Staples Center?
Oh, yeah. I think that was our second E3.
I guess that'd have been 2010, I guess.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. So, yeah, Activision rented out the entire Staples Center and did this crazy concert, Tony Hawk. Just did like a couple things on a half pipe. Not well, it wasn't even that. It was like a vert ramp, and then he talked about his game and then left.
That's another person that made me react because we heard he was there.
Yeah.
And that they were supposed to pull down a half pipe. So he does one small little trick. And then he talks about his game and he should have left, but then he paused and goes, "Hey guys, sorry, we were supposed to bring this half pipe down, but we couldn't get the roof open." I'm like, well, now I wanted that. Now I wanted the half pipe.
That's right. It's like now that we knew we could have had that and didn't, you know.
I mean, I don't know. Tony Hawk's getting old. What would you have him do?
That's right.
He's got a family. He's got some kids.
This is still 7 years ago. He was youngish.
He was still hip and with it.
Yeah. I don't know if he was 7 years ago. I mean.
Yeah.
Well, he brought a whole crew with him, too, so.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy event because, they rented out the whole thing just for the E3 attendees. So it was really just for media and then, you know, game developers and other, you know, business people. And we got like up in one of the box seats and literally any of the food concessions they had was free. So if you wanted hot dogs or nachos or, you know,
whatever. Did you sneak into that?
We snuck into the box seats.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, you know.
There was actually, and this is, I guess, whoever Activision's fault is that they didn't really tell anyone where to go. So they opened the doors. Everyone was just standing around, queuing up at different places. And then they finally let everyone upstairs, up this flight of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep going because we have a tendency just to push our boundaries and keep going places. And that's so we kept going and found the box suites, walked around, walked into the one front and center, and just sat down. And then 10 minutes later, we see all the media herding below us into the normal seats.
Yeah.
And we just stayed there.
Yeah. No one told us we couldn't be there. So it was pretty cool being in the box seats because there was like a little mini fridge and some other stuff.
And there's some Activision executives showed up.
Yeah, that's right. It was probably their booth, but they assumed we were game developers, you know, which we could have been, you know. So
we may have hit our badges, so they didn't know.
Yeah, so. I don't know. We were pretty cool about it. I think, you know. No, it was pretty fun.
I was kind of hoping you guys just went with it. Just listen, we're in this booth because we are the number one Nintendo magazine out there.
That's right. Which we were, so you know.
There you go. And I think we still are.
Yeah, that's right. Still
are. Am I hammering this home enough?
Oh yeah, you're good.
I love it. And we push boundaries.
Yeah, that's right. That's what a journalist is supposed to do, right? I mean, you know, we can't, you know, I do want to give ourselves credit that, you know, sure, we do love Nintendo games, right? But I do love that even over the course of, you know, even with NiMiFi.net, early Pure Nintendo days, you know, we still know how to tell them when they're doing something dumb, right? You know, we want to be objective with our coverage, and subjective, I guess. You know, we want to tell people the truth. So if the, you know, friend code system stinks, you know, we got to let people know. You know, we got to tell Nintendo and say, hey, you know, this is what people don't like. You need to change this in the future. So I think we've done a good job, especially in the magazine with our Let's Talk articles, of, you know, kind of highlighting some of those things that, you know, we wish they would change. So, and I think Nintendo's listened to us over the years, and the podcast and the various reviews we've done and articles. So,
and I'm going to take advantage of this subject of pushing the boundaries to kind of push us along here, just to kind of bring us right back around to the Patreon. We're going to expand on that a little bit more, so you, the reader, and you, the listener, know exactly what's in store for you guys as we launch this new campaign. Obviously, one of the things we hope to accomplish is to bring back the print magazine, but of course that is not all. Right, Justin?
That's right. So yeah, we want to, I mean, that's kind of the first and foremost in our minds is bringing the print back and as a print subscription. So, you know, people that become a patron on our Patreon page will be, you know, going towards that print magazine first and foremost. But we also have tiers that, you know, if you just want to give us a dollar or a couple dollars here and there, you know, you can get access to exclusive contests that we're going to run through the Patreon page. And it's also going to help, you know, build out our podcast, you know, get microphones and different equipment and things like that to make the podcast, you know, really shine as we develop it more. And then traveling to more events. You know, we've been to PAX Prime out in Washington. We've been to New York Comic Con. We've been to all the E3s. E3's kind of been the main show that we go to every year. But we really want to get to some of the other ones too. You know, PAX East. You know, go to some of the other Comic Con shows and also travel to game developer studios. So, you know, getting exclusive hands-on and, you know, really, you know, bolstering out some of the interviews that we do in each issue. You know, if we can fly out to, you know, see what Way Forward is cooking up or see the new stuff that Nintendo's cooking up, you know, out at their offices in San Francisco or LA or in Redmond. So, you know, a lot of the patronage is going to be going towards those types of things of really helping our coverage improve as we build the magazine out more and more.
Yeah, I think, you know, everything you said, of course, is, you know, spot on what we would plan to do. Obviously, the podcast is going to get a little bit, you know, better as, you know, we get a little bit more flow coming in there, and I'll be in charge of that. And hopefully you'll see more like media things in the future, the more revenue we see coming towards us. Obviously, you know, our PLA playthroughs have been long since absent. I'd like to bring that back personally. Unfortunately, I haven't had the time or the funds to replace my capture device. That's really unfortunate for me. So, you know, hopefully this Patreon will help a little bit of that. And something Justin said that I'm always really excited about is, you know, traveling to these game studios, you know, really taking the fight to them, metaphorically speaking. Unless we run into James Cameron, then it's really going to be on.
That's right. Throw down. We'll see like the game boss.
But, yeah, we want, like, you know, to really spend some one-on-one time with these developers and, you know, these artists and these composers, like, you know, the staff that make up these game studios to talk about, you know, their products and, you know, what they want to see. This product, what they want to see out of this project, and, you know, really see what's making this game shine, you know, and then bring that to you, the readers. Like, that's first and foremost what, like, I find, like, really exciting. Of course, the print magazine is too, but, like, that's what I want to do, you know, as in my position for this company.
Yeah. Yeah. More video features, you know, bringing back some of the purely playthroughs that Matt, kicked off for us. And, I don't know if some of you guys have been playing through Xenoblade Chronicles, but I'm sure you've probably seen some of Matt's boss tutorials and guides, video series that he did on those. So we're hoping to do more of those types of videos and features as we build out the content on our YouTube page.
And I think, obviously, we talked about the events, E3, Comic-Con. Maybe it's bold even to say, like, we want to aim for, like, Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show, like some of these international trade shows out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'd be great. I mean, there's developers all over the world that we want to get in touch with. And, you know, we've obviously worked with, you know, people like Image and Form that are based in Sweden. And, you know, there's developers, you know, all across the world that, it'd be great to visit their studios and, you know, really give you guys the experience of being at that development studio with video features and interviews and pictures and things. So give you exclusive behind the scenes access to those studios.
And just as a side note, curious, you mentioned Image and Form. That just happens to be the next cover or our current issue of our magazine is SteamWorld Dig 2, which we interviewed Image and Form for.
That's right.
So again, check that out, purenintendo.com/magazine. All right, I think with that, I think we covered everything we want to cover with this. I'm sorry, we have not done that. We need to talk a little bit about like maybe some of the tiers. Justin, if you want to lead off with that.
Yeah, I mentioned some of the rewards we're going to have for the tiers. So, you know, starting off at the dollar, we're going to do it on a per issue basis. So it's not going to be a per month basis, but the money that you give towards the Patreon. So if you start off at a dollar, you'll be entered in for exclusive contests and giveaways, and also at some of the upcoming content in the magazine. So you're going to get some exclusive behind the scenes access of the cover stories we're working on before everybody else knows about it. So, you know, if we're working on it, you know, next month's issue, and it's, you know, behind the scenes look at, you know, maybe Fire Emblem Warriors or, you know, Super Mario Odyssey or something like that, you guys will be the first to know. So really, you know, even starting off at that $1 level, you know, you're going to get access to some of that exclusive content and behind the scenes access of what we're working on. And then as you move up in the tiers at the $3 tier, you can get just the PDF subscription. So if all you want is to be able to get a PDF copy of Pure Nintendo Magazine delivered to your inbox, we'll set you up with that at the $3 level. And then as you move up, we'll have the print subscription, and we'll need to get to a certain number of patrons at that level to start the print subscription back up. And you can check out the Patreon page for those numbers there. And once we get to that point, then that's when we can start the print subscriptions up again. And then as you move up, we're going to have some other cool prizes, Pure Nintendo lapel pins, you know, print and digital combo subscriptions, and, you know, all the things that you're used to seeing from us on that side of things for the magazine.
Let me stop you for a second there. I want to bring up a little thing about the digital subscription. Now, some of you listening at home might be like, "Oh, why would I want the digital subscription when I have the PDF right here?" Let me tell you that the digital subscription is so much better than the PDF. The PDF gets you the words and the pictures and all the cool stuff, but the digital gets you a nice flowing background. And I mean, Justin, you and Katie work very hard at this, and I'm always amazed at the design of each digital issue.
Yeah, Caitlin has really, you know, spearheaded that digital side of the magazine, and there's really a lot you can do with it, and a lot that we have done with it, where we can embed music into each issue. So, you know, if you want video game music to be playing, you can actually play that as you're cruising through the issue. We've played some old Mario music and some different things in there. We can embed videos. We can do lots of different things. So it's a more interactive experience. And our exclusive pixel puzzles, which you'll only find in our magazine, normally you would take some crayons or some markers or something, and you would do that in the print issue. But if you have the digital issue of the magazine, it's actually fully interactive. It's a touch-based game. You have a palette of colors that you can choose from, and you can actually complete the pixel puzzle on your tablet or mobile phone. So yeah, the digital, like Matt said, is heads and shoulders above what you get with just the PDF subscription. So
yeah, you'll want to take a look at this digital subscription. I've always loved it. So is there anything else? Sorry to interrupt you. I just had to.
No, not at all. Some of the other tiers will kind of be, fleshing out some more, and we'll, you know, maybe have some tiers that we'll introduce along the way. Patreon allows us to do some things where, if we want to do like a special t-shirt or something like that, that we can do kind of a limited tier. So the first 100 or 200 people that sign up for the t-shirt, can get that. So it's not an ongoing type of a tier like the other rewards, like the subscriptions, but it would be something that, hey, you know, it's just kind of first come, first serve until we reach that that limit on it. So keep an eye out, you know, follow the Patreon page. You'll get all the latest updates. And anytime we add some new cool new items to there, you'll be the first to know.
All right. And that concludes everything I wanted to talk about on this issue. James, Justin, did either of you have anything you wanted to add before we go?
I would say just, you know, thanks so much for everyone that considers supporting us on Patreon or has already done it if you're listening to this after the fact. And thanks for being with us throughout the last 10 years. If you've been a follower of the magazine and the website, we appreciate you guys and couldn't do it without you guys supporting us. So again, appreciate you guys a lot. So thank you.
How about you, James?
I can't beat that.
All right, and with that, we'll see you all later.
All right, everyone.
Come on, James. Thanks. No, come on, James. You gotta try.
No. In all honesty, like it's been our readers and viewers and listeners that's kept us going for 10 to 12 years. There's been some low times, high times, but it's always our readers that push us through. And so thank you for your support and your continued support as we move on to other adventures of bringing back the print or whatever else we have planned.
Mm-hmm. All right, and there you go. And, as we close out, I'm going to close out, as always, by thanking you, the readers, for reading our content on PureNintendo.com or our digital magazine, PNM. If you want to see more episodes of the KoopaCast, you can always go to purenintendo.com/podcast. You can also check us out on iTunes. Just search for the KoopaCast. If you have any questions for the podcast, please feel free to email us, podcast@purenintendo.com. Until then, stay tuned until the next KoopaCast. We'll see you all then.
See you later, everyone.
Later.